You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am excited about today's episode because I want us to have a very nuanced and intellectually honest conversation about faith. And I want to specifically address a question that I believe many of us can relate to, but may not have had the language or the courage to maybe say the thing out loud. And that question is, how do we as mature, intellectual, Christian women exercise our faith for the desires of our hearts when we know that God ultimately may say no? How do I reconcile the scripture that says that He will give me the desires of my heart with the understanding based upon my reading and studying of the word and walking with Him for this long, the understanding of sometimes that actually may not happen? How do I wrestle with faith, confidence in things hoped for, assurance about things unseen, when that faith may not produce the outcome that I'm looking for? To make it more personal, how can I believe and petition heaven and have faith in the Lord granting me with a successful business when I know that the Lord doesn't necessarily promise me financial success? How do I reconcile that I understand that scripture tells me that He came so that I may have life and have it more abundantly, but abundance is ambiguous to where it may not meet the same definition that I may place on abundance? Where does my faith land where I know enough to know that even with all of the prayer and petition and thanksgiving and all of the belief and the faith that I exercise, that the outcome that I'm looking for from the Lord may simply be a no for Him? How do I reconcile that? And where does my faith land when intellectually I understand and theologically I understand the full picture? And this episode came about, and we're going to explore and go so many places today. This isn't one of those practical, apply these 10 steps types of episodes. Last week's episode was strictly about encouragement when I was speaking about the non-traditional path. And today is more so about opening a dialogue. Because ever since this conversation, so this episode came about because I was speaking to a friend of mine and she was going through something and feeling overwhelmed. So she and I spoke. And what she was struggling with was, I have these specific desires in my heart, and I am not sure if the Lord is going to give me those things. So where does my faith land at that point? And not in a doubting God way. This is why I say this episode, I want us to have an intellectually honest conversation, because she's not saying, I don't trust God to do these things for me. She's not saying that I don't believe that the Lord can give me these desires of my heart. But what she's saying is, based off of full understanding of the Lord's character, based off of the historical text and the accounts that are in the Bible, how do I have faith for something that God never explicitly promised me? When those desires that you have, desires, let's say for marriage, for entrepreneurial success, for a thriving career, for children, for a reconciliation with a family member, whatever the desire is that is unique and specific to your situation, the reality is a lot of the things that we face and that we want, that we believe in the Lord for, are things that God never explicitly promised us. And it is tough to reconcile that I believe in God for these things, but I also know the answer may be no. So what do I do in the meantime? I don't want to be pessimistic. I don't want to lose hope. The Bible says, and we'll talk about the scripture throughout this episode that hope deferred makes the heart sick. I don't want my heart to be sick. However, it's tough to have that confidence in things hoped for and assurance about things unseen when I know enough to know that the thing I may be confident and hopeful for may not happen. Can we be honest about the difficulty in being settled in that? Because that truth, and it is truth, is not in alignment with the name it and claim it that we may see, that you can decree a thing and it'll be established as if you have this magic wand to force God to do and make appear whatever it is that you ask for him. It doesn't align with the way that faith has been taught to us, to where if we believe enough and hope enough and pray enough and do enough, that the Lord will then do for us and answer our prayers. There are times where he does, and there are times when he doesn't. And if he does or if he doesn't is 100% contingent upon him and not us. So we're pretty much waiting and seeing if the outcome is going to be what we wanted. And that is a tough pill to swallow on this faith journey. It is a difficult pill to swallow. And so those of us who understand the gospel enough to know that truth, it can be difficult to sit in the middle. Because again, it's not that you don't trust God. It's not that you don't believe he can do a thing. It's that you know he can and that he may not. And that level of awareness can be a tough pill to swallow. Think about it in a relationship with someone that you have in your life, to where you know somebody has the ability to help you or meet a need, and they say they love you, and you know they love you, and you love them, and you have this great relationship, but they choose to just not do that. How can you not feel a certain type of way? In your humanity, how can you not feel a certain type of way about that? Like, you see me struggling. You see me going through this. You have something that will help me feel the peace that I'm looking for. You have the ability to change my circumstances. You have the ability to make this thorn, and we're going to talk about that, go away, and yet you don't. And this is especially tough for us women who are more analytical, who are logical, who are highly educated, intellectually curious, when you're deeply familiar with scripture, and when you're, especially when you're uncomfortable pretending that there is certainty in scripture, where scripture doesn't provide that certainty. When you are spiritually mature enough to not try to make the text say something that it doesn't, that you take it for what it is and recognize the ambiguity of what it is, it makes it especially difficult, because the question then becomes, how do I believe God without lying to myself about what he promised? A couple of years ago, I had a health scare. I went to Jamaica. My aunt turned 50, so she planned this big trip. We had so much fun. And this is also the same year that I had my second son. And so he was only a couple months old, but I still went, because this is my aunt I own a studio with. So we are very tight, and I wasn't missing her milestone birthday for nothing. So I left them kids with their daddy, and I went to Jamaica, still breastfeeding and everything. I come back, and I had like some strange virus where I had woke up in a sweat. I had this fever that was high and it would not break for nothing. I'm taking all the medicine. It would not fully break. And it was days and I still had this fever. I'm like masking up around the house because I still had to breastfeed my baby and all of these things. Feeling terrible, but not knowing what's going on. At first, I'm thinking like, okay, it's a cold, but I've never had a cold with a fever this high and this persistent. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's like COVID or something. I did just travel. So I got a COVID test negative, flu test negative. Okay, so what is going on? I decide, okay, I'm gonna ride it out. But eventually the fever was so persistent that I just went to the hospital. And I go to the hospital, they run all of these tests. They still cannot figure out what is wrong with me. I tested negative for everything known to man. But my blood work, my white blood cell count was non-existent. A normal white blood cell count is from like 4,000 to 11,000. I think it's microliters or whatever the measurement is. Mine was 4. Just 4. Not 400, definitely not 4,000, just 4. And it was strange because I think typically when your body's fighting off an infection, you might have a high white blood cell count. And all my medical people correct me if I'm wrong. But mine was just totally depleted. And there was no explanation for it. And so I had to be super cautious about everything because I had literally no immune system. So I had to like wash my hands constantly. I couldn't go anywhere, had to even have a mask on at home. And it was just, and I already was masking at home, but now it was like, no, you really need to mask at home. I was masking to protect my family. I needed to now mask to protect myself and really isolate because I couldn't afford to have anything else happen. And so the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And I was referred to hematology oncology. Hematology is blood, oncology is cancer. So I make the appointment. Thank God the office was able to get me in. I actually ended up going to the same office that my grandmother goes to for her cancer treatments. And so I remember going to this place that I had been to before because I've taken my grandmother to appointments. And I'm sitting there with my mom and my heart is in my stomach. I mean, my heart is in my feet, like way past my stomach. And I'm just sitting there. Like, God, struggling to about where to place my faith because I want to be okay. I just had a baby. I have so much more life to live. At the time, I was maybe like, my son is 3. I was like 30 or 31. So I'm thinking about all the life I still have left to live, all the ways in which I want to see my children grow up, the things I want to accomplish, the way I want to grow old with my husband. Like, I'm just thinking about all of those things and struggling with where to place my faith because I understand that no matter what the outcome is, God is good. But this outcome, he may be good through an outcome that I don't know if I'm ready to receive. I don't know what I would do if I sat here and told these people told me that I had some type of blood cancer or whatever. I don't know how I would be able to sit with that. And so I know that the Lord will comfort me through it. God, I understand that you will, that your healing power isn't, the text doesn't say that you will cure us from all diseases here on earth. The text says that you will heal us, and it's up to you if I'm going to be healed on this side of heaven or in glory. And I really wanted to be on this side of heaven. And so I was just sitting there the whole appointment. I can remember it vividly because it moved in slow motion, going into the office, watching all the other people come in for their treatments, folks with their scarves on and their hats on, concealing bald heads, sitting down with the financial people and them telling me, like, if I have to have cancer treatments, this is how much it's going to cost. These are the resources that they have to pay for it and help. And I'm just like, man, I was struggling with where to place my faith.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. They say that every day your business is late to AI, you fall 2 days behind. But how do you keep up? The competition is only moving faster. Fortunately, that's NetSuite Next. You probably know NetSuite, the AI-powered business management suite that securely connects all of your data. It's a unified suite that brings your financials, inventory, commerce, HR, and CRM into one single source of truth, trusted by over 43,000 customers. NetSuite Next is the next huge leap in how business gets done, because AI is built into everything that you do. It automatically surfaces custom insights throughout your day. AI agents work alongside you to solve problems and handle routine work. And anytime you have a question about anything, ask, just like you're having a conversation with a colleague. NetSuite is customized for a wide range of industries, so it supports the way your business truly works. Whether your company earns millions or even hundreds of millions, it's time for NetSuite Next, where your business meets AI. For the first time ever, you can try NetSuite Next for free. If your revenues are at least in the seven figures, go to netsuitenext.ai/blessed. Built for every industry, ready for every boardroom, netsuite.ai/blessed. This episode is brought to you by IXL. It's back to school time, and we just moved, so new teachers, we have new schedules, and new expectations. Thankfully, we have IXL, which makes it easy to spot and close any potential learning gaps in just a few minutes a day. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to help kids get back to a learning routine and start the school year confident and prepared. Y'all know how I feel about IXL. We are a IXL household. My son loves it. I love it. And now my preschooler is excited to get his own profile so that he can start learning on IXL as well. IXL is proven to improve grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests, and that's proven in all 50 states. IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. And if you have multiple kids like me, one subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade, for all the kids in your home. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. AI is only as smart as what you put into it. And those breakthroughs, the one that actually make your life easier, happens when the AI is built for exactly what you need. ShipStation's AI isn't a general purpose tool. It's specialized, trained on decades of real shipping data and billions, with a B, of actual orders. ShipStation is an end-to-end order fulfillment platform for e-commerce businesses. Powered by AI trained on decades of data from billions of shipments across the world, ShipStation adapts to your unique business, alerting you when stock is low, recommending the best carrier selections and rates, and automating tasks to save you time so that you can stay one step ahead. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. Y'all know I am an AI lover, and I use it for productivity. I use it as a personal assistant, and I use it to make my life easier. Shipping should work the same way. And if you're going to trust AI to make decisions, you want to trust the company with more shipping data than anyone else in the game. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code BLESSED. That's ShipStation.com, code BLESSED. ShipStation.com, code BLESSED. Taxes and fees apply. And thank God I can tell y'all that I was fine. I did not have cancer. Whatever this virus was just aggressive in that it wiped out my immune system. However, it did pass. And I think by the time I had my follow-up appointment, my white blood cell count had went back to normal. And so I was okay. No treatment, no cancer. Nobody ever knew what was wrong with me, but it passed. Praise the Lord. But I just vividly remember sitting there and my mother trying to encourage me and saying, like, well, you know, God is a healer, and using all the scripture that she knows to try to encourage me. But still, I'm like, that I can't lie to myself, because the truth is God is good and I might still be sick. And how do I, like, what am I believing for? It was that struggle. And so I thought about that again as I'm recording this, thinking about this conversation with my friend, because if we are being intellectually honest, that is a place that many of us will come to at some part on our journey, especially when we're dealing with very hard and very real things. So let's go to Hebrews.
We know that the definition of faith is in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, for context, let's go to Hebrews 10, and I'm going to read verse 35 through 39 in the English Standard Version. It says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." And so then chapter 11 then begins explaining what this faith that's being referenced looks like. And so that's where we get to Hebrews 11 and 1, which says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen." And then as the text continues, we see that faith demonstrated through the hall of faith. In that, we come to verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." I'm going to read this in a New Living Translation. "All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth." I'm going to read it in the Message version. "Each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted, but they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is proud of them and has a city waiting for them." And I highlight this because this conflict that we're discussing is not rooted in pessimism. It's not rooted in a lack of trust. It's rooted in a true biblical reality that we all must accept. And I wanted to highlight this in scripture, and I want to highlight another one because I believe that there are also some of you who have bought into more of the name it and claim it. And when I say that, I mean that there are certain prosperity gospel teachings that teach us that they use scriptures such as "you can decree a thing and it'll be established" to try to make it as if we can just name something, claim it in Jesus' name, and he'll release it to us. And that's just not how this works. We may have believed that, oh, because all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, as it tells us in Romans 8:28. That means that things are going to work out the way that we want them to. That means the outcome is going to be something that we want. And that's not necessarily true either. And so I want to address the issue that I believe that a lot of us who are a bit more spiritually mature face, but I also want to reveal the truth for those who may still be misled by a lot of prosperity gospel teachings. And then that will then lead, once reality hits, which can be God said no, or once reality hits of that person that you were praying to heal died and their healing came in eternity, that disappointment will then drive wedges between you and the Lord. And so I want this episode to be twofold in a way to protect those from this disappointment that the enemy will capitalize on to pull you away from God. And I also want this episode to be a safe space for those of us who wrestle with this reality, who understand it, but still wrestle with it. I want us to be able to have this nuanced conversation because there are, in my opinion, many places where this type of question is being addressed, and it's one that we will all face at some point. I wanted to also highlight Daniel 3:16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, my emphasis on, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that he will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So they were telling Nebuchadnezzar that God is able to deliver them, but then they said, but if not. So their faith in this instance has two components to it. One, they understand that God is able to rescue them. They also understand that God may choose not to. And the most important point of that is what they say after, where they say, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So what they're saying is, but if he does not rescue us, he is still God. This is what I mean by not allowing the prosperity gospel to warp our faith and our perspective of faith, because the prosperity gospel will say, oh, God is going to rescue me. He's going to rescue me. I'm naming it. I'm claiming it. I'm believing in the Lord that he's going to rescue me. But true spiritual maturity says he also might not. And if he doesn't, he's still God. But if you don't have that spiritual maturity and clarity on what faith actually is, then when he doesn't rescue you, your whole life will be shattered. You'll be questioning the Lord. You'll be running away from him. You'll be saying, God doesn't exist. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't love me. So now, instead of just continuing on in this good fight of faith, now we have to go back and mend this relationship. That disappointment will sever the relationship in a way that it shouldn't have, should you have just been aware and understood the truth of what faith is. So this text is a simple but still beautiful example of these three not interpreting God's, the possibility of God saying no, as evidence that he wasn't God. Their faith wasn't that God definitely would do what I want and rescue me. It was God is capable of doing what I hope, but his sovereignty isn't depending on him doing it. So you may pray, God, I believe that you will give me beautiful children. I believe you will give me a successful business. I believe that you will give me a great career. I believe that you will give me a healthy marriage. I believe that you will restore my relationship with whomever, without having to say, you can pray these things without having to say, God definitely will do these things. And by you doing that, it's not you downgrading your faith at all, but this is what biblically mature faith looks like. Knowing that he's capable of doing what I hope that he does, but his sovereignty doesn't depend on him doing it. And so if we go back to the example I gave about me getting sick and me wrestling with my faith throughout that whole appointment of, God, I know that you may not heal me. And I don't know how I feel about that. So where does my faith go? If I was to answer that question now, I think it's been 3 years since then. If I was to answer that question 3 years later, what I would tell myself in that moment is that, first of all, what I would tell myself is, let's not jump to conclusions. Because what happens a lot of times is we're on step one and we already worried about step five. No, you are here from an appointment. Yes, your white blood count is low. Yes, you are in a cancer doctor's office. Nobody told you that you had cancer. Calm down. You have not spoken to the doctor yet. Relax. Secondly, what I would have told myself is, have hope that the Lord will heal you. And if he does it, he is still God. And he will address those real concerns that you have about your own vitality. And how he addresses it will be a way that is sufficient to your needs, that is sufficient to your heart, and that is sufficient for you, period. And even if the worst happens that you think is the worst, which is being sick and not being able to see my children grow up and all of the things that I discussed, even if that is the case, still believe, and believe to the end, because this life is short term. And God is not just thinking about the now, this side of heaven. He's thinking of eternity. And he has prepared a place that is way better than this ghetto place. Way better. I want us to address a scripture I referenced earlier, Psalm 37 and 4, which is the scripture that talks about he will give us the desires of our heart, which many of us use to encourage ourselves. I want to read Psalm 37, 3 through 5, versus just isolating verse 4. Reading in the English Standard Version, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act." A lot of us like to use this as a do this, then that type of scripture. If I delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart. If I commit my way to the Lord, trust him, he will act. So for us, that means he will give me the things that I want. He will give me the business, the marriage, the babies, the career, the health, the friendship, the prosperity, the long life. He will give me these things because I delighted myself in him, and these are the desires of my heart. This episode is brought to you by Breeze Meds. Everyone's talking about GLP weight loss medication right now. What people don't know is that getting started is so much easier than you think. With Breeze Meds, it's all online, no clinics, no waiting rooms, and it's medically supervised weight loss that actually fits into your life. I have been on a GLP-1 for a few months now, and one of the biggest struggle points when I got started was the hassle to actually get started. Why I recommend Breeze Meds is because they are simple, easy, and that hassle just simply isn't there. It really is a breeze. They're convenient. Your medication ships to your door for free. There's no drama, no clinic visits, no referrals, no subscription. And it's accessible because a licensed provider handles everything online. Medically supervised GLP-1 weight loss, the real deal, all online. You can get started for $199 a month and it ships to your door for free. No subscriptions, no lock-ins, no hidden charges. You simply fill out a form to qualify at breezemeds.com, and it takes less than 5 minutes. Get 20% off your first order with code BLESSED at breezemeds.com. BREEZEMEDS.com. That's 20% off. Use code BLESSED at BREEZEMEDS.com, breezemeds.com. Code BLESSED for 20% off.
When it says, commit your ways to the Lord, trust to him and he will act. For many of us, that's saying, many of us, we use that to say, if I do these things, then the Lord will act in the way that I want him to. And I feel like that's a natural way to read and come to a conclusion in any other type of text. But Psalm 37 is wisdom literature that's attributed to David. And so the broader issue here is how righteous people should respond when wicked people appear to prosper. That's the context. And so the psalm as a whole repeatedly emphasizes things like trust, patience, faithfulness, waiting, not envying others, and committing one's ways to God. Therefore, Psalm 37 and 4 shouldn't be reduced to God gives me anything I want if I delight in him. The surrounding passage, all of Psalm 37, is about ordering your life around God while waiting for him. And I think it's worth noting that I do believe that when we grow in our faith and we live righteously, we abide in the Lord, and he transforms us, our desires then start to align with his desires. And I believe that through that alignment, the Lord will give us the desires of our heart. But I want to caution us against using this as this scripture as whatever I want, the Lord is going to give me, because that's not necessarily true. And what I also don't want to happen, because many of us,
where we understand this totally, what we'll then start to do, and this is where our humanity comes in, and we become, as the old folks say, too smart for our own good, we'll then start to brace ourselves for the possibility of disappointment, and that's not faith either. So what we'll do is know that, okay, I want the Lord to rescue me. I know that he may not. And so because I know he may not, I'm still going to believe and hope that he does, but just in case he doesn't, insert whatever comes after for you. It may be you have your own contingency plan. It may be you've kind of already worked out a plan B or something like that. It may be you are not believing as purely as you should because you're trying to brace yourself from some type of future disappointment. And I think we as intellectual people have to sometimes just let ourselves surrender. I think we all have this fear of like, I'm not trying to look stupid. Right. I don't want to be out here saying that I'm believing in God for something and it doesn't happen. And I think that I deal with that a lot, especially when it comes to this platform, to where I don't ever want to come on here and be so loud and proud and be wrong. Because especially earlier on, I will always think like, well, what if I say I'm believing in God for this in business? And especially because this show foundationally has been about the journey of entrepreneurship. And for the last almost 10 years, I've been speaking every week about the journey. And my thought earlier on was like, what if my journey never even amounted to any type of material success? What would that mean for the message that I'm telling people to make God the CEO of their business? Is it believable without that level of proof? But we have to just still surrender that. And I thank God, I know now from the past 10 years that there are material levels of success that I communicate on this platform. But that was a real fear earlier on. Like, yeah, it's a desire of my heart to be successful in business. But what if I'm not? And if I'm not, what does that mean for my platform? And so there is hope mixed in with a little fear. And that's not like our faith and our hope shouldn't be contaminated with fear because of our understanding that it may not work out the way that we want it to. There's a level of where we have to just cut that off and fully surrender and just trust again that if he does not, he is still sovereign. His sovereignty is not dependent on me receiving the outcome that I want. There are examples in the Bible where the Lord did give folks what they wanted, and there are examples where he didn't. And I think that it's important that we explore all of them because these are places that we can go when we experience either or. When we experience, we can start by using the stories of those that God gave them the desires of their heart in a way to encourage us. And then we can also go to examples in the Bible where God didn't and still see how God is still good. Let's take Moses, for example. Let's go to Deuteronomy 3, verses 23 through 28. And this is where the Lord forbid Moses to enter into the promised land. It says, and I pleaded with the Lord at the time, saying, O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough from you. Do not speak to me of this manner again. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and look at it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of his people and he shall put them in possession of the land that you shall see. Here, Moses asked God to let him enter the promised land. And you know the story of Moses and you know all that went to get into this point. God said no. Moses had been extraordinarily faithful. He led Israel. He obeyed God. He endured enormous hardship. Yet God tells him, enough from you. Do not speak to me anymore of this matter. The Lord said, I said what I said. Moses was able to see the land. The Lord was gracious enough to allow him to see it, but he couldn't enter it. And so this teaches us that our faithfulness does not give us control over God's decisions. And it's a painful truth because Moses' desire to see the promised land was not sinful at all. He wanted something that was good. He wanted something that I'm sure would have been fulfilling after the journey. He wanted something I'm sure was like, I don't know, like the trophy in a sense after the fight that we read about since the beginning of Exodus. But God still said no. Just sit with that for a second. He still said no. Now let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 2 through 3. It says, David rose to his feet and said, my brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the ark of the Lord's covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it, but God said to me, you must not build a temple to honor my name, for you are a warrior and have shed much blood. So here we have David, who wanted to build the temple. He had the resources. He had the vision. He had the desire to, he had the right motive, but God tells him that he just simply won't be the one to build it. Ultimately, Solomon did. It's important to note that David's desire was godly. He wasn't asking for anything sinful. He wanted to build a house for God, and God still said no. And so this tells us that a good desire does not automatically mean a God-ordained assignment. And this might be a whole nother podcast episode. Because I think that is something very telling about the Lord saying, you must not build a temple to honor my name, for you are a warrior and have shed much blood. I think that's worth a Bible on business type of episode for sure. But this demonstrates that you can have a beautiful, you can have a righteous desire that God nevertheless chooses not to fulfill through you. This is a tough reality, and it's the reason why, in my opinion, a lot of good-natured Christian businesses don't work. They fail. And it's not because your intentions weren't good. It's not because you didn't want to honor the Lord with your enterprise. It just could be, it's a no for him. And I think this could be a whole episode in of itself, but I want to stay on topic. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7 through 10. It says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecution, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we referenced this earlier in the episode, but Paul had a thorn in his side and he asked the Lord to take it away. He didn't pray just one time. He prayed repeatedly. And he wasn't praying for something frivolous or some materialistic thing. He believed that this thorn, and we don't know exactly what the thorn is, but he believed that this thorn hindered him. Yet God chose not to remove it. He reframed the situation around grace and dependence on him. And in the Lord's reframing, Paul responds by saying, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. So Paul's faith wasn't proven false because God didn't answer his prayer the way that he wanted. It was matured through the way that God did answer. Come on, y'all. God telling us no, not giving the desires of our heart, this outcome that we're trying to preemptively prevent in some type of way, We can't let it hinder our faith. We have to let it mature it. And that's the ultimate takeaway here. That question of what do I do when I know that God may not answer my prayer? You believe anyway, and you let the outcome mature your faith. That's the answer. You turn off that logic and reasoning side of your brain and decide that you are going to continue to believe. Period. That's it. And I could honestly land the plane right here, but I want to make sure that I give you all of the scripture references so that you can then go back and use this as part of encouragement as you continue to believe. So let's now go to Matthew 26, 36 through 46. It says, "Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, 'Sit here while I go over there to pray.' He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' He went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.' Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, 'Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.' Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done.' When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to his disciples and said, 'Go ahead and sleep, have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here.'" Jesus expressed in this moment a very genuine desire. He didn't pretend. He didn't spiritually bypass. He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So he doesn't pretend that he doesn't want this cup to pass. He doesn't pretend that he doesn't want his life to be spared. He doesn't say, he doesn't act like he doesn't care what the outcome is going to be. He says, "I don't want this." But he submitted anyway. And I believe that this gives us permission to pray honestly. And when we pray maturely, we don't try to stop ourselves from wanting things badly. Like, we don't allow the fact that we know God could say no to keep us from having desires, or try to minimize how badly we desire something. We don't try to brace ourselves for disappointment, but instead we are honest in our prayer and in our faith by saying, "God, I want this deeply, whatever this is for you. I'm asking you boldly, and I trust you enough to accept your answer." This is where the foundation of a method that I've talked about since the inception of this podcast of I feel, but I know. And so one of my things that I practice, because I believe in always being honest and transparent and vulnerable with the Lord, I go to him and say, "God, this is my desire. I feel," or if I'm going through something, "Lord, I feel this way. I feel hurt. I feel disappointed. I feel scared. Or Lord, I want this. I want this level of success. I want my business to turn out this way. I want these type of clients. I want this type of home. Nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done." And that "nevertheless" isn't some type of empty ritual that you just say so that it sounds good, but it's true. There's a submission in that "nevertheless." There's a release in that "nevertheless." You have that honesty before of your desires, your requests, your feeling. That "nevertheless" is a release of everything that you just said. And you then transition to an acceptance of "not my will, let your will be done." And then you move forward that way. We are coming up on 42 minutes, I think this is a good place for us to pause for part one and then pick up for part two, because I want to, in the sake of being balanced, also give you some biblical examples of when the Lord did give folks the desires of their heart, when God did say yes. And I want us to continue this conversation because, again, I feel like this is a nuanced discussion that is so necessary to have. This is a space that we are all going to get to as we grow and spiritually mature. We're going to see, like, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. So how do I exercise my faith knowing that he could say no? This is a real human dilemma. And I pray that everything that we have discussed thus far has provided language. If you've been in this space, I hope it provided truth. If you may have been blissfully ignorant to the totality of this life and thought that God just gave you whatever it is that you wanted and you've been taught the wrong way up until this point. But I pray that this episode has blessed you. I'm not done. And so I look forward to part two. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys and I'll see you in the next one.